Hello, everyone, and thank you for being here. This is Marianne D'Ambrosio of LeadOutLoudNow.com, and I want to welcome you to the Leadership by Conscious Design interview series. I created or designed this leadership series for individuals who are in business and corporations and are seeking a new way of leading. This is exactly the type of leadership development I craved and searched for in my corporate career. And it's my pleasure and honor to offer this series to you. The leaders that are part of this interview series are authentic, the real deal. They're heart-based leaders who walk the talk. In this series, you'll learn what's at the heart of great leadership and how this can increase your leadership potential by building your confidence, increasing your clarity, your communication capability, and, of course, that connection with others. Today, our guest is David O'Brien, and David is president of Connecticut-based WorkChoice Solutions, a nationally recognized provider of leadership and team effectiveness consulting services. Prior to launching WorkChoice Solutions in 2000, David was senior vice president and general manager with a global provider of workforce management services. In his first book, The Navigator's Handbook, 101 Leadership Lessons for Work and Life, this was released in July of 2008. His second book, Tapping Your Leadership Wisdom, is expected in bookstores in the spring of 2010. Well, welcome, David. I'm so glad you're able to join us.
Good morning, Marianne. It's very nice to be part of this conversation and part of this series.
Well, thank you. And can you just tell us a little bit more about yourself?
Sure. The work that I do centers around acknowledging that this is my life's work. I am very, very fortunate to be able to say at this juncture of my career that I am doing my life's work, and that came out of the experience that I had, as you mentioned, when I started WorkChoice Solutions back in 2000. Frankly, I don't know if I ever told you this, but I had taken a sabbatical from that last corporate job where I was in the senior vice president role. I took some time off, just under a year, to really sort out what had I learned about leadership, and specifically about leadership, but about work and work life and all of that over the previous 20 years. And so, you know, my work has been around this whole issue of leadership, organizational effectiveness, human resources in general over the last 25 years.
So, Dave, how would you define great leadership? You've been in a lot of these roles and you've worked with individuals. What's your definition of great leadership?
Well, I think it's important to note that there are, in my mind, there's two dimensions of this. I often have people ask me, you know, so what is the difference between leadership or managing? What does great leadership really mean? And I think within the context of great leadership, Marianne, there are really two dimensions. The first dimension in my mind is what goes into it? What does it take to create that? And the second dimension is, so that's kind of the input. And then the second dimension is what I think of as kind of the output. What does that input create? And as a beginning point, the input from the leader, the actions and state of mind perhaps that the leader needs to have, I think it begins with acknowledging the scope of their influence. It really begins with acknowledging and honoring the role of the leader. Within that, of course, within that input, within that framework of what it takes for the leader to be considered greater, to produce a great leadership outcome, would be the mutual respect, the trust, the integrity, the clarity, the communication, all of these things that help people understand where they're going and what needs to be done and really ultimately be able to trust and have confidence in that leader. And then the output that creates, the great leadership kind of output, that second dimension, is that sense of clarity and purpose that's shared by the group. I think it's a heightened level of community and trust amongst the group. And I think at the very highest level, it really comes down to creating an environment where people, as human beings, as fellow travelers, are better off because of the experience, because of that connection, because of that community. and they learn and grow and develop and experience this together as a group.
Now, Dave, you mentioned trust as a big part of this. So as a leader, how do you build trust with your peers, your colleagues, and then with the people you lead?
I think as a baseline, it starts with honoring your commitments. You know, trust, people have often said, you and I have heard this, I'm sure most of our listeners have heard this, that, you know, trust takes a lifetime to build and can be damaged or diminished very quickly. And in building that trust, I think it starts with, you know, acting with integrity, consistently being clear on that, having clear values, strong values. And we'll, I'm sure, talk more about my thinking on that and, you know, the connection, of course, to our work that we do. But I think it starts with honoring your commitments, being clear, understanding, back to the point that I mentioned a moment ago about what I think of as in the context of leadership influence, understanding the huge level of influence that we have as leaders and our need to honor and respect that and the people that are part of it. So I think it's, as a baseline, it's about honoring our commitments and being very aware of the scope of our influence and impact as leaders.
So nowadays, with the world and especially the business world changing so rapidly, it really is no longer business as usual. And so in corporations and in businesses, there's an immediate need for conscious leadership. What's your definition of a conscious leader?
I think it comes back to that foundational aspect that I've shared with many people over the years, and that is really the awareness. You know, just as a story related to this, you know, when I started out to write the book, The Navigator's Handbook, 5 years ago, my original intent was, as you know, to just look at, you know, common denominators of great leaders and do a kind of a formal academic research kind of project, and it took on a very different tack. And one of the main reasons it did was it began to look at the fact that these great leaders were defined as great leaders outside of work. And as I think I had mentioned to you one time, I became curious about why are they defined and how are they defined as great leaders outside of work. And clearly the common denominator there that speaks to your point, I think speaks volumes to this point, is that level of awareness around their core values and allowing those core values to guide all of their leadership interactions, all of their decision making, all of their connectivity to the business objectives. And I think so as a baseline, that conscious leadership is about being aware, self-aware. It's about having a deep understanding of those values. But also, as I've said in many cases over the years, it's not enough to just be clear on those values. I think one of the things that I have seen in my work over the years that connects to the great leadership characteristics is not only that clarity, but also clarity around how do you live those values day in and day out? How do they guide you in your role as a leader? So I think it starts with the awareness, it starts with the clarity, and it becomes an ongoing process.
So do you believe then, David, before you can lead others or really be a great leader, you must become a leader in your own life first?
I think it's a big part of it, Marianne. I really believe that it starts there. You know, I can look over my career, over my 20-plus years of leadership experience and realize that there was a progression there. There was an evolution of my own leadership capacity, of course, I think as there is for most people. But I really believe that as we look at the fact that one of the common denominators that I've seen again and again is that it starts there, that level of awareness, that self-awareness around values and interest and capacity. And I've said, you know, in many organizations that I've done work in, the need to really honor that, to acknowledge that in order for me to be a good leader in this space called my work life, I need to understand how I lead my life and lead other parts of my life. And, you know, the point I made earlier about those common denominators, that was a very important discovery for me. I probably knew it going into it, but I hadn't thought of it. I hadn't anticipated it as part of the research and for the book. And what I found was that those leaders that were again and again defined as great leaders at work were defined as great leaders outside of work. And I think that it starts there.
That seems to be a theme, Dave.
I really do. I see it in so much of the work that I do, in so many of the conversations I have with leaders, whether it be in a coaching context or just a conversation, you know, in a less formal kind of environment. Again and again, that comes back to that being a critical part of what great leaders do and have in common.
Now, the leadership role right now is, it seems like, at least in where I am in corporate, that the leaders have to have really that high energy level. They have access or desire access to needed resources, and they never seem to have enough time to do it all. Mm-hmm. So as a leader, what do you do to sustain a high energy level, have access to those resources, and enough time to do it all when you're faced with these challenges? So in other words, how are you being? What's going on inside of you, Dave?
Well, I put a high premium on staying grounded. I know that in the constantly evolving work environment that I'm part of all over the country, with many different leaders, with many different organizations, and obviously being highly customer-centered in my work, I understand that there are always many, many, many balls in the air. There's lots of things happening. And in an effort to stay absolutely focused, I find it very, very important to stay grounded. And understanding that, you know, I was having a conversation with someone just, in fact, earlier today about the critical need as a leader to stay focused, to stay grounded, because all of us get distracted. And I know that in an effort to do really good work, and this applies to any industry and any level of leadership, and for that matter, any level of employee, in an effort to do really good work, it makes a huge difference when we're able to stay grounded, when we're able to stay connected to those truths, to those values. For me, it starts every day with kind of a meditative prayer, reflection around the gifts that I have, my gratitude. I plan my day. I was sharing that conversation or that story with someone just last week about how I need to stay focused, but also how I need to stay organized. And so for me, as I begin every day, staying grounded, working to get organized, planning my day, understanding what resources are available and what needs to be done to put it together, that goes a long way in helping me to achieve the impact that I need to do every day in my work.
So if something were to come up for you unexpected and it potentially could throw your focus off, what do you do, Dave, to keep that center, that groundedness?
I take a break from it. I step away from it. I have, because of the importance that I place on this and the awareness that I have around it, I know I have many, many cues that I can tune into that tell me that I'm getting out of that zone. I can start to feel, you know, anxious. I can start to feel frustrated. I can start to feel fearful. All of those are my cues that tell me I'm getting out of that zone where I need to be grounded, where, by the way, and not surprisingly, I don't have scientific research on this, but I have a very strong sense from having this conversation with many people that clearly we do our best work. Human beings, I think, in general, do their best work when they're grounded. And that word grounded can have many definitions, but I think in a very simple way, grounded is about being clear on my purpose, being clear on what I need to do, what my expectations are, what my deliverables are, if you will, in the context of corporate life. But I think really it's about those cues that then help us to realize we need to get grounded. And what for me, it's very often, and fortunately this doesn't happen very often, but when it does, very often I will just step away from it and collect my thoughts and regroup and sense that maybe two or three cues perhaps have surfaced that tell me I'm getting distracted. I am not going to be focused. I am not going to make my best decisions. And I know that clearly My clients want and expect me to make my best decisions and do my best work every time, and that's my goal. It's a shared goal, but I think stepping away from it, regrouping, there are times where I will find humor to be a good tool. I have a cartoon file that I've kept for years, and sometimes I'll find myself getting off track and off center, and I find that maybe I'm getting a little bit too serious about this, and I need to just lighten up. And so I will, I'll look at cartoons, or I'll, more than likely and more than often, I just simply get up and go for a walk for 5 or 10 minutes and clear my head.
Well, it sounds like, Dave, from what you're describing, for me, I would try to come back right into the present moment.
That's right.
So it's gathering everything that you need right in this moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I like the idea of the humor piece, looking at a cartoon, because once you're in that space, it's a totally different space.
Oh, it sure is. And coming back to that moment and showing up fully in that moment, because I think that's what happens. When we get distracted as leaders, I think in any level, when we're distracted, we're not seeing the full range of our capacity to do good work, to make good decisions. And so being able to be fully present and put those distractions in the proper context provides us with a broader range of options for moving forward.
Hmm. And, you know, when you spoke of humor, usually business, or at least many times, it's serious. Business is serious. And so how do leaders add humor and lightness to their leadership style with the individuals they lead?
Well,
why is it important, Dave?
Why is it important? I think that people need to laugh. People want to laugh. I think one of the characteristics that I've seen in my work around authentic leadership, one of the characteristics that comes up again and again in discussions with teams and individuals is that one of those other common denominators of the leader, of a good leader, is that they have a sense of humor. And I think in the times in this permanent whitewater pace of business today, people need to lighten up a little bit. People need to be able to have that outlet that gives them, they can build community for sure. You know, I can think of one example where a client of mine, they, in response to the constantly evolving pressures of their work environment, we were just having a discussion over lunch, a group of us, only a few weeks ago, and they decided to start a cartoon wall. And Dilbert was at the top of the list, and Dilbert's one of my favorite cartoons because it offers great insight into what you shouldn't do in most cases as a leader. But there are many others, and so you know their thinking is they would build this cartoon board in their lunch area where they would all have kind of some responsibility to bring in you know a favorite cartoon once a week, once a month. There was no pressure on them to bring them in with any you know, great degree of frequency, but that they would all contribute to it, and that they realized when they were feeling out of their, what they defined as their stress comfort zone, they would refer to the cartoon board, and that would help them to keep things in perspective and lighten up a little bit. And I think that it's a very good solution, quite honestly.
Yeah, it sounds like a lot of fun.
We do take it seriously, and it's important to take our work seriously. It's important to take our commitment seriously, that's for sure, but because of the constant pressure and evolution of all of this, the way it's constantly evolving, and the demands with, you know, doing more with less, and all of these productivity issues that are part of corporate life today in and around this part of the country and around the world, for that matter, I think it's very important that people have a healthy outlet to be able to refocus, and I find that humor is an important one. I see it within many of the executives that I work with, that it's a good outlet for them as well as their team. But back to the original point, part of that, I think, is one of the ways that it makes them real, part of authentic leadership.
Mm.
And people want that. I think that there's a genuine need. I think that people really want that connection to that authentic, you know, that kind of authentic leader that it goes a long way in building the trust for sure.
And so in what role with authentic leadership, what role does communication play?
I think of it often in the context of what role does effective communication play in allowing us to be successful? I will often ask that question. There's a lot of work. It's ironic. It's kind of interesting that you raised this question. Just in the past month or so, there have been three projects that I'm working on that have had communication, specifically beginning with leadership communication as a central theme, but communication in general on a couple of them. And I think to answer my question, it plays a huge role in our ability to be successful. And if we use that if we take that response, again, what role does clear and consistent and effective communication play in our ability at any level to be successful, to be effective? Well, we know the answer is a large percent. It plays a big, big role in that. And if we look at that from the leadership perspective, we realize that it starts with us. And absent clarity from us as leaders, people make it up. And sometimes, unfortunately, people make it up, and it's called the rumor mill. So, and from my experience in having this conversation with many leaders over the years, the rumor mill is very rarely positive stuff. It's usually negative, and that becomes a greater obstacle for the leader. So, you know, it starts with the leader having clarity around what the expectations are, what each person's role is. Honest and open communication is a very important part of it, to be sure, and it goes a long way in building clarity and consensus and shared, goals and direction for the team.
Now, Dave, what if an individual had a role that was to lead without having formal authority? Mm-hmm. What techniques could they use?
Well, I think it would be helpful for them to seek out clarity around what are people's expectations, what are the desired outcomes. I guess what I'm hearing you ask, Marianne, is a person that doesn't necessarily have a leadership authority for a group, a team, a project, but yet they need to get things done. They need to at some level, maybe in an informal way, help to generate guide and outcome. Is that what you're asking me?
That's it, exactly.
Yeah. And so I think to that point, it would be helpful for the leader to start to build clarity around what is everyone's role, what are the desired outcomes, what are we trying to achieve here, what does that look like, what is each person's contribution. And for sure, you know, it goes back to a point I made earlier about influence. I used that comment or theme earlier in the context of leadership influence. It shouldn't be any surprise to anyone that we all have leaders. We all have influence, to be sure, regardless of our capacity in a given job, whether it's leader or not leader, individual contributor. And to that point, I think the person who doesn't have the formal leadership authority for the group does have influence, and so he or she is in a position to be able to guide these discussions around clarity of purpose, clarity of outcome, et cetera. And then honoring those commitments, being supportive, being open to other people's input, et cetera, guiding it kind of in a facilitated way, it can go a long way in helping them to achieve the informal authority and desired outcome.
Thank you. And I find that many times individuals that start out without that formal leadership authority and learn through it turn mm-hmm. out to be some of the greatest leaders, too, because they're experimenting as they're going along. This is like the internship for leadership.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, that's a really good point, to be able to understand that it's evolving and that you're, you know, figuring it out as you go along. You know, I've often had people, I've done work with a number of early career high potential folks at a couple of clients that I work with around the country, and I often hear from them similar things. You know, am I at a disadvantage because I haven't figured it all out? You know, am I at a disadvantage because, you know, I haven't had all of these lessons yet? And I think if a key theme there is being a student of it, a key theme there is finding your voice and your style. I know I say this in my book, and I've said it to many, many folks in different speaking engagements and one-on-one sessions, that it's not about thinking for a minute that it's the David O'Brien formula of leadership, or it's the, you know, the XYZ company's formula or anyone else for that matter. It's about your formula. It's about finding your voice in the process, making it yours, making it real, and acknowledging that this thing called great leadership is not a destination. I'm very quick to tell people in my work that I have, despite the fact that I have a book published and I'm working on a second one and I've had some great success with this, first and foremost, I think of myself as a student of leadership. I know that I will work for a while. I've worked for a long time. I will work for a while longer, probably another 10 or 20 years. And that being said, I'm curious to find out what is this really all about, and how do great leaders happen? What is that about? And so while, yes, I've had a variety of different leadership roles and I've had these accomplishments, first and foremost, I think of myself as a student of it that wants to learn more because there is more to learn. And so when I think of that early career person, I think that it's a good frame of reference for leaders at all levels, by the way, but it especially applies there to that person in your example.
So what words of wisdom can you offer new or aspiring leaders as they navigate the waters of leadership?
Well, I think of to a point I made there, you know, to be able to find their voice, to understand that they have something to bring to the equation, to understand the huge responsibility that the leadership path brings. And it's an opportunity, it's a responsibility. And that is because of the impact that we have on people's lives. You know, one of the greatest motivations for me in writing the first book was acknowledging that to that point, as leaders, we have this huge capacity to impact people's lives beyond the work environment. You know, we have all had the experience over our careers of working for people that were not great leaders, and often the impact of that carried on beyond the parameters of our job. We brought it home with us, and I think, you know, to a point I made earlier, that, you know, one of the outcomes probably at the highest level in my mind of great leadership is that people are better off because of that experience. They're better off for being part of that group. They're better off for being part of that team. And that really is, it speaks to the concept of honoring and nurturing the huge responsibility of the leadership path. We can have productive influence or we can have destructive influence. And the productive influence is what builds that sense of community, builds that clarity. I think it's also important for them, you know, to find their voice. As I said, I would encourage them to read lots and lots about emotional intelligence. You know, Marianne, there's lots of great things written on that. I think from my experience, as I've often told people in some of my training, that in my 25 years of working in corporate America, I don't think, and being a student of leadership, by the way, for that same amount of time, I don't think there's anything that's been more important, more significant to the topic of leadership effectiveness than emotional intelligence. I think it's a standout. There's a lot of great books that have been written. There's a lot of great learning beyond emotional intelligence. But if I were working with that early population, as I do, as I mentioned earlier, some of the early career high potential clients of mine that I work with, I give them some good insight into that. And for those that I'm not working with, I would just recommend that they read a lot on emotional intelligence. Robert Cooper's work, Daniel Goleman's work, there's lots of great material out there. And I think that I would also encourage them to realize that this is an ongoing process, to the point I made earlier. It's not a destination. It's a journey. Commit to learning. Commit to looking at, you know, your style and interest and get clear on your values and you know, see it as part of a kind of managing your career, because that's part of what this is. We're talking about their careers as leaders, and having some clarity around that can go a long way in helping them to grow, to learn, develop, and succeed in their role as a leader.
Well, thank you, David, so much. It's been an absolute pleasure to have you on this series.
Well, thank you, Marianne. It's been just great to be part of it.
And to learn more about Dave and his leadership and team effectiveness consulting services, please visit WorkChoice Solutions online at workchoicesolutions.com, and it's all one word. This is Mary Ann D'Ambrosio of LeadOutLoudNow.com, and thank you for listening to the Leadership by Conscious Design interview series. So long for now, and may the heart-based leader within you stand up and lead. Enjoy your day.